Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, save. Lord, help us. We are helpless without you, hopeless without you, incapable without you. But Lord, with you on our side, we are well able to defeat the enemy and to enforce your will in the earth as it is in heaven. Empower us, Lord. We receive our empowerment and walk in the fullness of the grace that you have so graciously given unto us, because your tender mercies, your loving kindness is forever. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to this time together this evening. In the last little while, we've been talking about curses. And just finished a television broadcast into Central and South America just a few minutes ago. And I continued that discourse. We need to be free from that which is separating us from what God has for us. Amen? I do believe that is of utmost importance. We have challenges, but the challenges are not meant to overwhelm us and bring us to nothing, but should be stepping stones for us to climb up higher, opportunities given to us to experience another phase of the goodness of God. Every test becoming a testimony. Praise God. So, this evening, I know I said I was going to wrap up, I was wrapping up this morning, but this evening there's an aspect that I think we need to look closer at, even though we have mentioned it again and again through the passages of scripture that we've read and discussed the issue of curses on. But our focus really is not on the curse. Our focus really needs to be on the blessing. Amen. And I know we've talked about the blessing many times before. But how do we step into the blessing? The principles are the same. The principle of confession, the principle of connecting with what God has already proclaimed to be true. But there's a statement the Lord makes, and made quite a few times. When somebody received their miracle, he told them, don't go back to it, unless a worse thing happens to you. When a demonic infrastructure is torn down and we do not establish the infrastructure of God's goodness in our lives, the enemy will come back. And when he comes back, he comes back with more wicked spirits, so that you find yourself in a bigger mess than when you started. And that's exactly what we don't want. Hallelujah. We definitely don't want that. So we don't want to create a highway for the enemy. Praise God. And some of the things we talked about this morning, we talked about the causes of curses. We talked about idolatry. We talked about dishonoring of parents. We talked about having confidence in the flesh. in our ability or other people's abilities. We talked about robbing God in terms of our tithing and stuff like that. We talked about disobedience being one, in fact, the greatest generator of curses is disobedience. More than anything else. We talked about our words, what we say, what we assimilate, what we believe. And we talked about spiritism. We talked about horoscopes, Ouija boards, and necromancy, wizardry, or witchcraft. We've been practicing cultism of whatever sort, rituals. Now, when we talk about rituals, I need to go in there just a little bit. Remember, the Word of God said that curses happened because of certain things that people did, and it went on for 10 generations. Okay. So, there are rituals that parents, grandparents, ancestors engaged in that have traveled down the pike. And they travel down the pike through something we call familiar spirits. This is familiar spirits. Okay. A familiar spirit is a spirit that is familiar to you. It's familiar to your family. They try to go from family to family, generation to generation. They hang around and they try to instigate certain belief systems that give them a comfort space so they can hang around. And, well, if they find somebody that is strong in the Lord and the power of God's might, who stands in the integrity of the truth of God's heart and worships in spirit and in truth, they may leave for a while and come and check again. And come and check again. And they come again and again and again until they get what they want, which is to bring you to a place they don't. What we need to understand about the enemy is that the enemy knows exactly what he wants to accomplish, but he doesn't have to take the bite, all of it, all at once. He wants to take a little piece at a time, convince you to do one thing at a time. Right? That's what he wants to do. Okay? So, when you look at the system in the world right now, you see how it's working. Oh, when I was in the States in the 70s, there were certain things that I knew weren't possible. You know, people that lived an alternative lifestyle hid in the closet, so to speak. But one bite at a time, 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 until the minority is now wagging the majority. And you think, all the world is like that. But they've changed the thinking of the masses to start thinking the way they think. Because the enemy goes one little piece at a time. He's not going to tell you, I'm going to try to accomplish all of this. He says, no, we're not talking about that. That's not what we're talking about. You think we're crazy? We're not talking about all of that. We're just saying, this piece here, this piece here. And that's how the enemy thinks. And that's how he brings us into a place of, it's just this, it's just this. Do you think people get engaged in pornography by going hardcore pornography right away? No, it's a little thing here. One little thing here. And then it's that, and then it's that. Now, what used to be R-rated 70 years ago, it's now G. You understand what I mean? Just get used to this. And then, you know, it's like living by the sewage, what do you call that thing there, where they work with their sewer and whatever, and anyway. Living by mushroom factory, it stinks, right? When you live in there, after a while you don't smell it. It now becomes normal. So also do rituals bring us into a place where things that are not right become normal. And somebody's complaining about it. What are you talking about? It's just that. It's just that. It's just that. But it's creating something else that is becoming a handicap to us as a community, as a society. Things that we accept today were not acceptable just a few years ago. And the spiral down is so fast. And my concern is for our younger ones, because they don't have, you know, when I was growing up, Bible knowledge was a requirement. You can do Bible knowledge in high school. So even if you are not a believer, you had a Bible that was part of your textbook. I had that. I can still remember, you know, questions that they will ask in class. For example, they'll do a discussion and they'll say, thou art the man, discuss. That's all they give you, thou art the man. Now you have to tell who made that statement, when it was made, why it was made, and all of that. Now if I say to the young people today, what does that mean, thou art the man? They'll be looking at me like, thou the man what? What are you talking about? If you look at the average Christian, even in church today, thou the man. What does that mean? Well, it was about David. David had messed up royally, killed somebody's wife, husband, taken his wife, and the prophet came and gave him a parable. There's this guy who was wealthy and had all these animals, and a visitor came, and instead of killing from his animals, he went to his neighbor's place, and that guy had one animal, one sheep, and he killed that guy's sheep to feed his friend. And David says, who's that? Let me go kill that person right now. And he says, thou art the man. You're the one. You're the one. You have all these wives and concubines, and this guy only had one wife. You went and you killed him to take his wife. You are the one. Well, today, people are getting away with all kinds of crazy stuff. What fighting chance do our young ones have if they don't have the word of God? Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I still remember it. Many years ago, it's got to be about 30 something years back. The Lord took me in a vision, brought me into a place, and it was this room. And I saw a woman sitting on a chair. And here comes this doctor. Goes to her, puts a helmet on her head. And all of a sudden, there was a light that came on. Ching, bright. Goes off. Says, problem is solved. I said, God, what just happened? He said, you see that? I said, yeah. So you know about inner healing, right? I said, yes. He said, okay. See that woman that you saw there? She had been abused. And when they put that helmet on her head, that light went into the area in her memory that harbored that information that's affecting her on a daily basis and erased it. I said, oh, that's good. That's amazing. That will help lots of people. He said, yeah, but you know what? They're going to take my people into rooms like that because they're going to say, you have been corrupted. You have a wrong belief system. You've been brainwashed by your religious belief system. And they're going to try to erase me out of my people. He says, but what they don't know is that my word is hidden in the heart. It's not in there. I said, ah! Yeah. The enemy has his agenda, but God is well ahead of the enemy. Amen? So today, I believe that God not only will set us free from the lies and the deceptions of the enemy, but there are things that we need to do to stay secure. Number one, we need to be people who repent. You may not know all the reasons why you need to repent, but when you watch the Old Testament, especially, you will see kings and leaders repenting before God, not just for themselves, but for the nation. God, we have sinned. He did not sin, but he says, we have sinned. We've done evil in your sight. God, have mercy. We need to come, you know, stand on behalf of our families and say, God, my family, we've sinned. We've worshipped other gods. We've done the wrong thing. I repent and I cry out for mercy. God, do a miracle in my family. You might be the carpenters, you might be the smiths, you might be whatever. Just come in. You don't know what they did. And those and don't just think, oh, we were not from those countries where they worship idols. Are you kidding me? All these Assyrians and all these people from Ireland and Vikings and whatever else, what do you think they worshipped? Have anybody watched the Vikings before? They're pagans. Your ancestors and my ancestors were all pagans. If you did not know the living God, worshiping the God of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you were a Gentile. And all Gentiles worshiped other gods. Period. We can cry out and say, God, my family line has been polluted. I cry out to you, God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on my family line. Let the curses that have been generated upon my family line be erased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, by the mercy that you accorded. Lord, for all sin is against you. Now, that's where you apply that he had redeemed us from the curse of the law. Because you understand that every sin is against God. Amen? Now you can now take that verse and apply it to your particular situation and say, yes, it may not have been a law, but Lord, all sin is against you. And so, Father, I thank you that I'm redeemed from that curse. Whatever curse has been spoken out of your mouth against anyone, and I have been directly or indirectly participant of that particular sin, I repent before you. I repent, I repent, I repent. Praise God. Hallelujah. We repent for ourselves, but we also repent for our children and our children's children, for generations, asking God for mercy. Amen? Secondly, and more importantly, we need to embrace the Word of God. As I said earlier, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We need to embrace the Word of God and ask God's Word to fill us. The Word of God is described as water also. It helps to clean us, wash us. Word of God, bathe me, O God, in your Word, and remove every stain, everything that the enemy planned for evil. Flip it around. Let your word take residence in my life in the name of Jesus. Thirdly, we need to forsake those things that generate curses. Don't feed that altar. Don't feed that altar of lies. Don't feed that altar of that by robbing God. Don't feed that altar by giving your life to that which is not God. Let me explain that. Your life, my life, is what I expend. That's what I give out and I get paid for. You, every time you go to work, you've been paid for the time of your life. And the life is in the blood. Yeah? So in essence, your blood is what is being put at the altar of that job, that work. And if your job is more important than anything else in your life, more important than God, and you don't recognize that that job is meant to be a way that a seed is given to you, and you make it your God, you are now transferring your blood on that altar. That makes sense? You're placing your blood on that altar. And so you're feeding that altar, and that altar will speak. But the thing about the devil is that the devil never speaks life. He speaks death, destruction. He steals, he kills. And so you can give all of your life. And in those days, if they even do that nowadays, you finish and you retire and they bring you a nice watch. And say, this is our appreciation for your 20, 30, 40, 50 years of service, a watch. It's interesting. They give you a watch to remind you that you spend all your time for that nonsense. But that's what you sacrifice your family for. Oh, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. Really? But you've spent all of your life doing this for me and we don't have a relationship. Sacrifice. Now you're going to die and you're going to die alone. Nobody cares. because you never built a relationship. God will call us to repent from placing so much premium on things that are not important or as important. Remember, the word of God says, seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. But it says, seek ye what? First. It does not mean that you don't seek other things. It just means that you seek the kingdom of God first. What is your first priority? If you want God to add stuff into your life, what is your first priority? Is your mindset kingdom focus? God, you've blessed me. What do you want me to do? I have this. What do you want me to do with it? How do you want to use this? God does not want you not to eat. He says the oxen that is working, God will eat. Yeah? God wants me blessed. And he wants me to connect with him. Amen? So I need to do that which is right. Make sure that I cut off anything that's going to generate curses in my life. Cut it off. Don't give it any room. Don't give it a second thought. Cut off. That's where the words of the Lord Jesus Christ become very, very important. If your hand is going to cause you to sin, cut it off. It's very graphic. But basically what he's saying is, anything that is going to cause you to sin and cause you not to put me in the rightful place, get rid of it. Before televisions, the internet, we had a life. Yeah? People lived very well without the television. They lived very well without the internet. Now, I'm not saying television or internet is no good, and that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if that television, that internet, is going to cause me to live in sin, snip, snip, snip. I'd rather be ignorant of what's happening in the world than end up in hell. Praise the Lord. Don't give room to the devil. You might go through some withdrawal. And believe me, you do go through withdrawals. You don't know how much television you've been watching or how much time you've been spending on the internet until somebody cuts it off. For whatever reason, my internet went down because something happened, and my provider could not get to it right away. And so in 3 days' time, we were very busy. 3 days' time, they came, they checked on it. It looked like it was working. By the time they left and I came to church and got back home, it was down again because it was not properly plugged in. So now I have to wait another 3-4 days. And guess what? Oh, my, where's my internet? Oh. Wow. The other day I was challenged. And the challenge was, that I was watching a program on television. I watched the first one, and then I watched the second one. That's 2 hours. And then the third one was coming. I'm ready to watch that one. And the Lord asked me a very simple question. How much time have you spent in my presence today? You're spending 3 hours here? Have you spent time, that much time with me today? Oh, yes. That was a low blow. But it was the truth. I was more interested in the action and the shooting. And somebody doing some crazy stuff and say, oh, what is he doing now? What is he doing now? Oh, don't go there, don't go there. Somebody's behind that door. And spend time in the Word. Now, does God care if I spend time watching that? He could care less. But what he was trying to say to me is this. Don't give your attention to stuff just because you want to have fun. Actually, what I was watching was not terrible. I was watching the Family Feud. Watch one Family Feud and then the second one and then the second one. I wasn't winning anything. But I was watching it and enjoying it. But did I spend time like I should with the Lord, you know, recognizing that it's a Family Feud that is going on, real time, their lives that are being destroyed, and I need to draw near to God so that when somebody comes to me and talks to me about this is what I'm going through, I am ready to minister grace to them. That was a challenge. You want to watch? Watch whatever you want to watch. But make sure that that doesn't take precedence over me. The other day, I caught myself. I said, Pastor, is this confession day? I'm just saying, child of God, we all go through stuff. Amen? I got to be real to you. I'm not some guy here, you know, that is holy than thou. I go through issues and I have my discussions with the Lord. I had the news on and I was busy praying. The news was on and I'm praying over here. Rabba Shandaraba Koto. And Mama came in and said, how can you be watching, listening to the news and be praying at the same time? And then dawned on me, oh wow, that's what I was doing. Crazy stuff. Now, I can pretend and say, well, I'm praying about the news. What are you bugging me about? Something bad is happening in the news, and I'm praying in tongues over here. It's a lie. That's not what was happening. And sometimes that's what we do. We lie to ourselves. So the next thing that you need to do is stop lying to yourself. Face up with the issue. Deal with it. Pretending doesn't remove the problem. If I do this now, because I don't see you, does that mean that you're not there? But that's what we do many times. We just... And because we don't see anything, it's not there. No, it's there. Deal with the issue. Don't pretend. What are you pretending? For what? Who are you pretending for? When you and I live in that world of pretense, we only set ourselves up for defeat. God never says to you that you are not in the valley of the shadow of death. You're there. If you're in the lion's den, you're in the lion's den. If you're in the fiery furnace, you are there. But what's important is that God is with you in that particular situation. And that's what makes that circumstance not override you and overwhelm you and cause you to fall apart. Every one of us must seek the presence of God. That's the next thing that you need to absolutely have in your arsenal. I am one with God. I am in Christ Jesus. I'm hidden in him. You remind yourself about that. I am in Christ. And because I am in Christ, the curse cannot touch me. Hallelujah. He's absorbed everything that should have been hurting me. He's taken it on himself, and he has given me the grace to live. Not just to survive, but to live. God is not interested in you just surviving. He wants you to live life boldly. Hallelujah. Embracing truth and walking in that truth. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. And this is what will ultimately frustrate the enemy. You connecting with the Word of God. The next thing that we need to do to be able to operate in the blessing of the Lord, these are antidotes to those curses, is to change our words. Say what God said, not what you think, not what other people are saying. If whatever it is that is being said does not line up with the truth of God's word, I don't have any business saying that. I must say what God's word says. His word tells me that he meets all my needs according to his riches in glory. Amen? So I say that. I say that. God is meeting all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But I do know also that that verse is connected to people giving. So if I, right this very moment, I'm not a giver, I don't come to God trying to lay claim to that promise without acknowledging first and foremost that I am not worthy of it. I come to God and say, God, the truth be said, I don't see any reason why you should give me anything here because I've been robbing you. I've been pretending. I've been this and so on and so forth. But I call on your mercy. I cry out to you for mercy right now. Take me out of this mess. Please help me get out of this mess. Help me. Help me. Help me. And the grace of God will come alongside of you. The mercy of God will come alongside of you and turn a bad situation around. That's the way it works. What God hates is people pretending. He hates it. Let me say it again. God hates people pretending. Look at that word pretending for a moment, and you find the word pre and the word tending in it. That gives me a sense that being pretentious has a pre part to it and a tending part to it. What's pretending? It is an offering of something that is not there. Pretension is generating a tension that is not there. Or let me put it this way. The flip side of pretending is the offering of something before an actual offering of it to receive what you need to receive from. So, if I've confused you, yeah, I know. I picked that up. So, I want something from you. I give this to you as a prayer for something that I want from you. This becomes like a bribe. You get that so far? I am bribing you for what I want from you. When people are pretending, they are trying to gain something from you without really, in actuality, truly offering it out of a pure heart. Now it makes sense? So I'm trying to get something without really, really, truly giving it. So I want something from you, and I want you to like me. I don't want you to say something bad to me. So I pretend that I'm giving you something, but it's not really real because it doesn't come from the heart. It's not pure. The motivation is wrong. It's not a motivation born out of love, because the only thing God says that we need to owe anybody is love. Love. So, when I love you, I will tell you exactly what is happening. I'm not putting on a mask. I'm breaking the cycle of curses, demands that we take the mask off. Take it off. Stop playing games. Because that level of pretending creates attention. So we say pretending or pretension. It creates a tension in relationships because nobody knows what the real truth is. Is he telling me the truth, or is it giving me a lie? Is he giving me whatever? Be real. And when you and I are real, we become people of honor. You have integrity. You are together. You are not trying to, you know, maneuver through things and entangle people in your web of lies. This is what's going on. If somebody asks me what's going on, I tell them this is what's going on. If you don't ask me, I don't have to tell you anything. But when somebody asks you, be able to face up with it, because that accountability builds responsibility in your life. So, Pastor, we're still talking about curses and how to get the blessing. Yes. You cannot flow in the blessing without having a sense of responsibility. Is the act of responsibility one in repenting? And after repentance, the responsibility to be accountable to God and to yourself and to others that forces you to do responsible things. Make you act right. If I know that hanging around a particular neighborhood is going to cause me to start shooting up, I don't go there. Why am I going there? But those are my friends. Well, once upon a time, you did not know those so-called friends. Cut it off. But I'm going to be lonely. So you rather die than be lonely. Life is this. If you die, Somebody's going to dig a hole and dump you in there and walk away and go have coffee while you're in the hole. That's when you know what alone means. But I won't feel it. Oh, there's a life after that. So I'm not going to trade my soul to hang around a bunch of whatever and lose my life. I used to tell my children, growing up, I said to them, I said, tell you what, all these guys that you are hanging around, when high school is done, most of them you're not going to see anymore. This one will be gone to Edmonton, and that one will be gone to somewhere else. And you, even you, you might be gone somewhere else. And you're going to have to build new relationships wherever it is that you go. So what's important right now is that you live a life that seeks to make you the best version of you. Because if you live in your life for those guys and they're gone, you find yourself really alone. In the crowd, you'll be alone. So learn about how you feed yourself. The same is true in church. Learn how to grow yourself so that you have something to bring to the table, to be of help and assistance to somebody else. Because in you breaking free from the curses that want to handicap you, your freedom will help somebody else become free. Next Sunday, I'm going to show you a clip. I don't think that clip is available right now. But I'll tell you a little bit about this clip. And when you see it, it makes sense to you. There's a hen and a cock, a rooster. This guy goes and tries to grab them. And the hen takes off. And the guy takes the rooster and puts it inside a cage and locks it up. Put stakes and whatever and make sure that it was secure inside that particular cage. He left. And there comes the hen. The hen goes and pulls the cords off. Goes on top and pulls out all the pegs and got the rooster out. I'm thinking, a hen with a small brain knows that when it has been set free, it should set his friend free. And I wonder, how many of us take time? We're free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm blessed and highly favored, and God's goodness is bestowed upon my life. Do you stop and go back and set your brother free? And so many times we don't. To ultimately be free from the curse, you have to be willing to set other people free. Because this is the truth, child of God. Listen to this. The children, the young people, the men, the women that you don't go lead to the Lord will be the ones that will lead you or lead your children into disaster. You are helping yourself when you preach the gospel. Because once upon a time, we didn't go on Sundays like this. We didn't go to Walmart to shop. How many of you remember those days? The younger ones don't. Once upon a time, you didn't go banking on Sundays. But today, some banks are open on Sunday. Walmart is open. The malls are open. When I came to this country, they were closed. And none of us missed it. We did all our shopping till Saturday. But because we can go on Sunday, we're relaxed. If I don't go today, I'll go tomorrow. And guess what? Those that believe that you don't go to the mall on Sundays, guess where they are on Sundays? In the mall. Because if you have the opportunity to do it, you're going to do it. Once upon a time, in church, people knew this man and this woman are married. That's why they're together. We did not accept shacking up. Remember that? Now there are people in our churches that are busy shacking up. They came together and you just assumed they're husband and wife. Once upon a time, talking about how things change. Once upon a time, two men can walk together, hold hands, and be laughing. Today, you see two men walking together and laughing. Hello. They're all over the place. They're just friends. But now you don't know anymore. Because we did not preach the gospel. We did not teach people. We did not bring deliverance to people. We did not bring hope to people. Now everybody is confused. Nobody knows what is true anymore. Once upon a time, and I'll wrap with this. Once upon a time, you see somebody walking down the street talking to themselves. You say, oh, that guy, something's gone wrong. Nowadays, you don't know anymore. You might be on the cell phone. You might have an earpiece because it's all confusion. Do you get the point I'm making? Okay. If we don't help others, we will find ourselves in a confused state because now you don't know the crazies anymore. You don't know the sane anymore. You don't know who's a believer anymore or who's not a believer. That child of God, that sense of not knowing can become a curse in our society. Because then we cannot trust anybody. You cannot trust what you see. You know, right now as I'm talking to you, somebody via AI can put words in my mouth. And you hear me saying all the craziest stuff, and everything is in perfect sync. It's my voice. Sounds exactly like me, acts like me, speaks like me, but it's not me. So how are you going to believe anything that I said in a court? Or believe anything that's on a video. But guess what? Gullible believers will believe, oh, he said it. I heard it. I saw it. You know why? Because that kind of thinking of impersonating other people just to put them in trouble will not be there if people are living godly. It's not the problem of the AI. That's not the problem. That's good technology. But in the hands of evil people who do not have a fear of God, it becomes disaster for society. That's why every one of us needs to make the right choices. We cannot win everybody. We cannot kill every mosquito in town. But we can stop the breeding point and reduce how much mosquitoes invade our community. That makes sense? So we must preach the gospel. To break the curse, we must preach the gospel. Because the curse ultimately was because of the sin of man. Man sinned and a curse came upon man. Now Jesus came to resolve that problem. We are left here to preach the gospel, to make sure that people do not continue in sin and have the salvation of God's goodness in their lives. Praise the Lord. And that's all I have to say for tonight. God is good. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, you are our helper. There are things that we've talked about tonight that are of great relevance that will help us. We ask, O God, for your guidance. We ask, O God, for your leading. We ask, O God, for your help so that we can live life honorably for your glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, empower us to overcome the attack of curses that want to come into our lives. May we spurn them away because of the authority of your word in our lives, and because we seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And as we do so, our tomorrow will speak good things for us. Therefore, we take no thought about the issues of tomorrow. Yes, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But when we know you, that evil is pushed away from us. We come to that place of enablement in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This time let us honor God with our giving. As we give unto him, let us know that God is committed to bless us. He said he will open the windows of heaven and pour out his blessings, and that we'll not have room enough to store it. May God so bless us so that we have this overflow that forces us to give. Amen? Hallelujah. We cannot help but give, because no matter how much we build, no matter how much we try to store, we cannot store it all. We have to give. May God make us givers, because we have more than enough. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, our next coming together will be on Wednesday, where we're studying through the book of Proverbs. I encourage everyone to join us as we go through that study. And of course, Friday is a time of prayer together. There will be announcements coming up for dates for the women's auxiliary and the men's auxiliary, the men's group and the women's group to meet together. When those dates come up, you will be notified, but I want you to know that that's in the works. And for those that want to know if the men's group are going to be meeting, will be meeting, or the women's group, yes, that's in the works, and you'll get particular dates shortly. And when you do get those dates, encourage the men to support the men's group, and the women to support the women's group. Let's get to know each other and grow together. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Oh, lastly, let me say, next Sunday is Missions Sunday. It's important for you to know that, because I want you to prayerfully consider how to give towards our mission emphasis. There are different parts of the world that we're called to, and we want to be able to go to those places, and it's not inexpensive, but God is well able to help us do what we do for in-house here and go that extra mile to reach the nations of the world, whether it be in Asia or in South America or in Australia, wherever people are, this gospel of the kingdom needs to be preached. And then our Lord Jesus Christ will come. And when he comes, we want to be ready to go. Amen? Hallelujah. So pray about Mission Sunday, and I have some good surprises for you for that Sunday. All right. Good night. Enjoy the goodness of God and be at peace. Amen.